by starting, I just want to read a scripture out of Nehemiah. It's not on the PowerPoint there, but it's just a scripture I came across which just ties in so well with my message this evening. It's about when Nehemiah, the Israelites had just come back from exile. They had come back into Jerusalem, and they were, you know, going up to hear the word of the Lord. And Nehemiah asked Ezra, the high priest, or, you know, to come and read the word of the Lord to people. And it's a scripture we know, Nehemiah 8 verse 10. We often know the second part, the joy of the Lord is our strength. But I just want to explain something around this. It was amazing where the people came, and Ezra, verse 6, blessed the Lord and the great God. Then all the people answered, Amen, Amen, while lifting up their hands. And they bowed their heads and worshipped the Lord with their faces to the ground. And then all these names that I can't pronounce here, I won't try to pronounce it now. Please don't call your children some of these names. But they helped the people understand the law, and the people stood in their place. So they read distinctly from the book in the law of God, and they gave the sense and helped them to understand the reading. And Nehemiah was the governor, Ezra the priest and the scribe and the Levites who taught the people, said to all the people, this day is holy to the Lord your God. Do not mourn nor weep, for all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Listen to that. All the people wept when they heard the words of the law. Then he said to them, go your way, eat the fat, drink the sweet, and send portions to those for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not sorrow, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. So the Levites quieted all the people, saying, be still, for the day is holy, do not be grieved. And all the people went their way to eat and drink, to send portions, and rejoice greatly, because they understood the words that were declared to them. And this ties in so well with my sermon tonight, because sometimes we, like these people, we come and we hear the word of the Lord, and we're still grieved in our hearts. We stand up and we shout and we sing and we clap hands, and in our hearts we still weep because the law feels to us heavy. Coming to church and to small group and doing the foundations, doing all these things that it seems like the church is asking of us seems such a heavy thing in our hearts. We seem like we have to do it. And you know, sometimes we really get caught up by the spirit of religion, the spirit of bondage in our lives catches us, and we get boxed in, we box ourselves in, and we actually sometimes just forget to live. We forget to relax and just to enjoy God, because even coming to church sometimes in our hearts seems like a schlep. And maybe I'm speaking to just one or two people tonight. Maybe I'm even speaking to just myself, because all of you are great. You're excited, you know, coming into the house of the Lord, all full of joy. Maybe I'm just speaking to myself sometimes, but sometimes we really box the Lord in. And we box ourselves, and we find ourselves caught in this church thing or this religious thing, and we're very charismatic, but yet we're going back to like these people where they mourned in their hearts until what happened at the end here. Nehemiah and Ezra and all the Levites explained to the people what this law truly was about. And then they understood, and suddenly they started to give, and they went to eat and to drink and to rejoice, because they understood something about what this law of God really required of them, what this law truly was about. And for us today, it represents just the word and God's voice speaking to us, because sometimes we even feel heavy. When we come into His presence, we feel like we've still got to, you know, earn our way into the presence of God. And that's exactly what the Lord says we mustn't do. And tonight, my scripture is Romans 14:17. It says, for the kingdom of God is not about eating and drinking, but it's about righteousness. It's about peace. And it's about joy in the Holy Spirit. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Spirit. And that eating and drinking represents sometimes, you know, if you think about it, you have to eat and drink. Every day you've got to eat and drink, unless you go on a long fast, and you trust the Lord that you won't have to ever eat and drink again. But I don't think that'll happen, because you'll go and be with Jesus straight away, you know, after you fasted for a couple of days. But we have to eat and drink every day. And even eating and drinking sometimes, where it should be a celebration, can become a heavy thing in our lives. Oh, I've got to eat again. I've got to have lunch. It's disturbing my routine here. And even eating and drinking sometimes can become heavy for us. But the Lord says here specifically, eating and drinking as a ritual, that's not the kingdom of God. It's not about doing all these things. It's not about just coming to church and ticking off your Sunday box, coming to small group and ticking off your box on a Wednesday, and the rest of your life is just you carry on and you do with it what you feel is good. But the Lord says tonight, it's not about these rituals. It's not about boxing ourselves in and just doing the three times a day eating thing and, you know, carrying on with our little checklist every day. It's about righteousness. It's about peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. You see, it's about relationship. About celebration. These three things talk about celebration. And we're going to look at them in detail tonight. I've got a lot of scriptures for you guys, so I hope you're ready. Those who want to write down, just jot down the scriptures under the headings, because
I'm excited about the Word of God tonight. Are you guys?
Romans 8 verse 10. It talks about, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is alive because of righteousness. See, the righteousness of Jesus Christ, as we sang about tonight so wonderfully, I just want to thank the band, and you guys are just, I can see that God is really taking our worship to a new level on a Sunday evening. It's so awesome, and in the morning as well. This morning was just amazing. We only had a few people here, but you know, the presence of God is the same. It doesn't matter how many people come. It's just amazing, and I'm so excited about. Also, just to distract myself, I'm really excited about all the volunteers. I want to thank you guys, those guys who volunteered to help with all the ministries. You know, I looked at my list of volunteers, and we've got close to 100 people, I think, just volunteering for Sunday events. And that's not even the band people included. They're probably about 100 in the band just on their own. But it's amazing. So I want to thank you guys for all your effort just in volunteering and in doing the work of the ministry on a Sunday. It's just really awesome to work with you guys. So I want to thank you for that. But I want to say tonight that the righteousness of Christ brings us life. And I want to say to you guys tonight, if you have been born again by the Spirit of Jesus Christ, you do not have a reason to feel like you're a worm still. You do not have a reason to live like a worm and to feel inferior in the kingdom of God. Jesus Christ has made you righteous by His blood. Let's look at Romans 1, verse 16 and 17. One of my favorite scriptures. For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. For everyone who believes, first for the Jew, then for the Greek, it is the power of God unto salvation. For in it, listen to this, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. Amazing scripture. The righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith. It's only by faith that this righteousness is truly revealed in our lives. And one of the greatest stories of salvation and of this power of the gospel that I've experienced in my life, apart from my own life, was a friend of mine 8 years ago. I'd just become a small group leader in Stellenbosch. And as the norm is with Shofar, you know, normally when you become a small group leader, you're definitely not equipped to do it. You normally feel, why must I do this? But, you know, I did the job faithfully, and it was just so amazing how I grew in my relationship with God just by being thrown in the deep end. If most of you have, most of you haven't, but like Philip and myself, being under the ministry of CS, you definitely have to walk on the water before you can do anything. You've got to swim. He throws you in at the deepest pond, and then you've got to swim. And that's what happened to me. So I was a small group leader now, and we were praying, because our small group suddenly got smaller. Guys started leaving the church. That's the reason I became a small group leader, was like my previous cell leader just decided he's going to go to another church. He's offended for some other reason. Our small group got very small. We were about 10 or 12 people, and we were down to 4 people. I think Cornet, where's Cornet? He's sitting at the back there. Cornet was actually in that small group as well. And we were down to 4 people, and we just decided to pray for new souls to be saved. And God truly answered our prayer, because this one guy, one evening in church, he decided he must come forward. And I saw this guy. He was an engineer. He was a big drinker. He would party, and he was a rough guy. And God said to me, you're standing in front now. You've got to pray for this guy. He's ready to receive Jesus. He's ready to receive me. And I was looking at this, and I thought, there are a lot of other facilitators. I'll pray for someone else, but this guy, he's a rough guy. How can I pray for this guy? He's been to the pubs. He's chaffing the girls and all sorts of things. How can I minister to this guy? So God said, you will minister to this guy. And he was so excited standing in the front of the church ready. He was already pretty much receiving Jesus all the time. He was just there, and I had to pray for him. And I mean, he'd already been saved by the time I just committed him, and I said, look, God will take you on a path, come to my small group, let's talk about, you know, the next few things. But that guy, that next morning, he threw all his old CDs away, tore down posters of old, you know, just that represented his old life, and he just started to receive the Word of God. He came to Bible school that Tuesday night, he came to our small group that Wednesday night, he was just ready to receive Jesus as much as he could receive him. But the most amazing story of a guy who was totally, I mean, I saw that guy in the engineering faculty, he was a loudmouth, swearing, did all the, you know, the things that weren't the Christian thing to do. But that night, he just radically changed his life. He just said to Jesus, Lord, I need you. I cannot do this without you. Most amazing salvation, most amazing path I walked with him. He became a small group leader, zone coach. He's now in London, one of the elders in the church there, serving God like he's never served God before, just on a path of growth that Lord has taken him. But the amazing thing was that power of the gospel was evident to me there, because you see, when someone comes from a background like that, or any of us come from a background that we come from, we need to have a radical encounter with Jesus like that. We need our lives changed. But you see, the only thing that can do it is when we surrender like He did and say, Jesus, I cannot do this on my own. I need to receive as much of You as possible now. And in those next few weeks, he just grew incredibly. The whole of the res he was in, I think Philip was in that res as well, they knew about Jesus because this guy was just preaching the gospel. Him and another friend, they were probably offending quite a few people as well. But they weren't ashamed to preach the gospel because they'd experienced such a revelation of who Jesus was in their lives. And you see, as Matthew 9 says, what shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness of faith. But Israel, pursuing the law of righteousness, has not attained to the law of righteousness. You see, sometimes we think that we need to still work our way into salvation. We need to think that we need to earn our way into the kingdom of God, earn our way even into the presence of God, like tonight. And God says that's exactly not, because He says here, look at Romans 10 verse 3. For they, this is now Israel, being ignorant of God's righteousness and seeking to establish their own righteousness. There's the key. They sought their own righteousness, have not submitted to the righteousness of God. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. Jesus Christ has made a way for us that we cannot deny it. We cannot say, Lord, I'd rather earn my salvation. I'd rather do my own good works. And that's the great thing about Christianity. It's the only religion where you cannot earn your salvation. For all the others, it's all about works. It's all about self-effort. And that's what I'm trusting the Lord to break in our midst tonight. Because sometimes we also still come to God when we're worshipping Him, or even just coming to a meeting. We just feel we've still got to prove ourselves. Maybe God doesn't accept us. Let me do something. Let me come up on stage and do a little dance here and prove myself that I'll be good enough for the Lord. And God says, just receive my righteousness. Just like Peter did, my friend. Just receive His righteousness, because we cannot obtain it by our own strength. Romans 5 verse 17. For if by one man's offense death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. So let's just truly tonight, in our hearts, just let's thank God again for just the fact that He's bought us at an amazing price. The fact that He has made us righteous, and then He wants us to reign in this life. He doesn't just want us to survive. And it's an insult to God if we come to Him sometimes. And I'm not talking about arrogance here. I'm not saying we must come into the presence of God arrogant, because it's exactly what it's not. It's coming humbly into the presence of God, saying, Lord, thank You that You have made a way for me. I just need to receive Your righteousness. And then, Lord, I want to live like a king. Because we're talking here about righteousness. We're talking about the kingdom of God being righteousness, peace and joy. And this is my first point still. We're on righteousness. And I'll never forget a couple of years ago, my wife now, she's amazing. She is an amazing cook and amazing in the kitchen, just baking and making rusks and all sorts of things. I'm good at brying, basically, and maybe making an egg. That's about it. But she's amazing in the kitchen. And she decided one evening she's going to try and make us a new dish, a nice new sort of supper here, the two of us just sitting. And she was trying out a new experiment, and I thought, yes, I'm excited about this. Because I can't try out any new, I can't even just do the recipes that are in the book even, but now she's trying some radical thing. And it was great. She presented, you know, put the plates there and the food there. She dished up for me. And then I sort of just, I don't know what happened. Obviously, there was just some connection that didn't happen there, because I suddenly started smelling a smell that I'd smelled in the hostel, in my junior school hostel many years ago. And this food, which I didn't really enjoy at that hostel, I just started getting this reminder of this. And it was just, I don't know what happened, but I'm still, no jokes, I'm not recovering from it still. But when I said there, I unfortunately should have just not said anything, but I said, yo, this doesn't even taste, it actually just smells. And then I started tasting it, and my sense of smell is just so strong normally, especially when it comes to food. And already I was convinced this is not like hostel food. And I said that, unfortunately, to my demise, for the rest of the evening. But, and she was so upset with me, and Mrs. Kingwell over there, you don't want to get on her wrong side. There's a wrath of Mrs. Kingwell that you don't want to enter into, and unfortunately, I entered into it that night, and that was the end of the romantic evening, and the end of a couple of dinners for me for a while, until I'd really repented of this, not receiving this gift that she had made me. And it doesn't matter whether the food was bad to me. The fact is, it was a gift to me. She presented a new dish for me that I should have just received so amazingly from my heart. But what I did was totally the opposite. Rejected that gift. And that's what we sometimes do with Jesus. Jesus presents us with the gift of righteousness, the gift of eternal life. And sometimes we say, Lord, no. Maybe you saved someone else, but for me, I'll still work at it, Lord. I won't receive your gift of righteousness. I still, because I'm in control here, I still want to save myself. I want to do everything that I can to save myself. And then we do exactly what I do. Matthew 5 verse 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. You see, once we have come to salvation, once we have been made righteous with Jesus by His blood, then He calls us to a continuous process of hungering and thirsting after righteousness. Being hungry, desiring the righteousness that He has for us. The process of salvation called sanctification. He wants us to continue to desire that righteousness. And it's one of the paradoxes of the Bible, one of many, where we have been made righteous, but yet we are still being made righteous. Amazing. But God just wants us to live in this. And just to say, Lord, I desire, I'm blessed because I hunger and thirst for your righteousness. And I know, Lord, your word says, yeah, you will fill me if I just continue to hunger and thirst after it. Romans 6:13, and do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. And this is where the challenge comes in. Many times we feel we've been made righteous by Jesus, so we just carry on living like we want to live. And the word says that do not present, Paul's writing, and he says, do not present yourselves as unrighteousness to sin. Present yourselves continually before the Lord as instruments of righteousness, so that you can serve the one who has made you righteous. And further on in verse 16, it's not on the PowerPoint there, but Paul talks about obedience leading to righteousness. And this is exactly what I want. This is the end of my first point here when it comes to righteousness. It's all about obedience. It's not about working your way, making your own decisions to become righteous and to be continually made righteous. It's about hearing the voice of God, about just living. And sometimes we really become too serious in life. You know, Christianity, God is serious about saving the world and changing the world. But sometimes we just forget to live in that righteousness that is presented for us. Sometimes we become so serious and we become sin conscious. But the Lord says to us tonight, get out of those boxes and just be obedient to me. Just hear my voice and spend intimate time with me, just like a relationship. And I've seen it in our marriage and it's just been so amazing to me. If Esther and I start to make rules and what we mustn't do and what we must do in certain times and all these things, then our relationship is killed. We start to focus on the negatives. We start to focus on what's wrong. Instead of the positives and the amazing love that we have for each other, the amazing relationship we have. And God wants us, in the righteousness that He has made for us, He wants us just to enjoy it. Just to have freedom with Him in the righteousness that He has made for us. Are you excited tonight? Jesus is King tonight and He just wants us to remember again. That's why I just feel this word, it's simple, it's scriptures that we've often quoted, we know them off by heart, but do we truly live them in our lives every day? Righteousness, it takes discipline. It takes discipline and it's all up to you. Jesus offers you once again the offer of salvation, or the offer of that process of righteousness. He says tonight, are you going to desire and hunger and thirst after it? Are you going to present your bodies daily as a living sacrifice? Present yourselves alive. Because that's what we are here tonight. We are alive from the dead. Isn't it amazing? Instruments of righteousness to God. My second point. Romans 8 verse 6. We're talking now about righteousness, peace and joy. We're at the peace part now. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. For to be carnally minded is death. But to be spiritually minded is life and peace. You see, the righteousness, the peace and the joy comes from the Holy Spirit. It doesn't come from our own strength. It doesn't come from our own understanding of the Word of God even. It comes from just having a relationship with the Holy Spirit and being in peace, having life and having peace every day. Isaiah 9 verse 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. And of the increase of his government and peace, there will be no end. Jesus Christ has come to present peace to this world. Jesus Christ has come. Imagine there was a governor that suddenly came here to South Africa and he just, suddenly everyone just started following and there was just complete peace in this country. There was no more fighting. Everyone just stopped and it was just, everyone was living at peace with each other. Imagine that. That's what Jesus came to do. In the Spirit, Jesus came that we can have peace. Despite the circumstances, despite what's going on around us. It says, of His peace, there will be no end. It will increase from glory to glory. As more people come to know His peace, it will just start to increase. And eventually, we'll be in paradise again, and there will be complete peace for us. We'll be transformed and made complete. Because, face it, if we're imperfect, and we are, there's not going to be perfect peace. But Jesus was the perfect one, and He came to bring us that revelation of peace. He came to bring it to us in our lives. And we can have it. And I want to ask you tonight, do you want peace? Do you want that peace in your life? Or do you still want to continue running around, worrying about the future, worrying about your finances, worrying about all these things? Just focus on the Word, and it says Jesus is the Prince of Peace. He came. Listen to this, Colossians 3, verse 15. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts. It's a choice we have to make. We've got to decide and say, Lord, thank you for that peace. I choose to let it rule in my heart right now. Isaiah 26, verse 3, continuing. You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. It's all about belief again. It's all about trust and faith in who Jesus is. But he says, yeah, he will keep you in perfect peace. So despite your storms tonight, maybe you're going through the worst thing tonight, I don't know. But Jesus' word says, yeah, and God says, I will keep you in perfect peace if you stay on me. Just focus on me. And that's why we come to church. That's why we come to small group, and we sit around the Word of God and just in His presence. And I want to encourage you, do it in your own time as well. Come to God and ask Him just to focus your mind off all the worries and all your studies and all the things that you're so concerned about. And focus on Him, and He will bring you that perfect peace. He will sustain you in that peace. Listen to His own words, Jesus, saying, these things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. And I don't know about you, but often in my life, most of the time I can see exactly when I'm out of peace. I can see exactly when there's no peace in my life. I can experience it, and there's just a struggle. And I must say, I fail most of the time because I still try to sort it out and think, what did I do wrong? I start to analyze the situation. My engineering brain kicks in and I think of all the steps. Where have I gone wrong? And what did my wife do wrong? Or what did we do wrong? Why is there a lack of peace in my life? And Jesus says, just come to me. Just bring it back to me. And I will give you a clear mind. And I'll show you what the problem is. I'll show you. Maybe you're missing it. But sometimes we just start to run around in our own mind. And I remember when I had to decide on the ministry, I was given a job. I knew the time at my previous company was finished and it was time to move on. And I started applying and I got another job there in the Strand, another company close by. So I knew the distances weren't too different in terms of driving from Stellenbosch. And, you know, it seemed like there was another guy in chauffeur also in the company. I thought, yes, this is cool. You know, maybe this is God's plan for me. And then that same, it was about a week and I was allowed, you know, I was, the interview was pretty much went well and I was given the job, but they didn't, you know, they had to sign the papers. But what happened was obviously God's hand. They had to internally interview the guy who was going to be under me and just give him a chance. Not that he would go for the job because he didn't want to be a manager. But they had to do it. So there was a delay of a week before I knew that I'm actually officially signing the papers. And in that week, the HQ guys came to me and said, please don't commit to any new job. We've got an opportunity for you in the ministry. We're going to start this ministry training program. And I was like excited, but I thought, maybe Lord, maybe later, you know, maybe it's not quite time now. Maybe this job is for me now. And suddenly we were off to Hermanus that weekend, and I was just in my heart, I was in such turmoil because I thought, I can't miss it here. If I decide not to go into the ministry now and it's the wrong decision, or if I decide to go in and it's the wrong decision, what's going to happen here? I don't want to make this wrong decision when it comes to ministry. And I had to spend that weekend just fasting. I just fasted that, not the weekend, but just that Sunday. I said to Esther, I'm taking this day off because I haven't got peace about this. I don't know. It feels like I must be in this company, but it also my heart wants to be in the ministry. And I took that day off and I just said, Lord, you need to speak to me now because on Monday I need to make this decision and tell these guys, please, you know, I'm sorry, I'm going into the ministry, or just tell the ministry people, not time yet. And God just gave me so much peace in that time, but I just needed to take some time out. I needed to fast and just say to the Lord, God, show me exactly. Because this is your decision, Lord. It's not, I want to be in the ministry, but maybe I also still want to be in the secular world, but you need to give me clarity. And my peace was so broken at the time, but it just became so restored after I just spent time with the Lord. And God gave me that peace in my heart. God gave me and He said, it's time for you to go now. This is your heart's design. I've placed that design in your heart. Forget about the corporate world. It's over. You've made the difference there. You've learned your lessons there. It's time to be in the ministry. I was so excited. And I just was so glad. I still said to Esther, I'm so glad I don't have to drive through to Strand anymore. Little did I know that I had to fly all the way up to Pretoria to be permanently here. But what a great decision. What a great decision to because this is exactly where God wants me. And I'm absolutely loving my job. I'm loving every minute of it. You know, but God gave me the peace that day. And that was the decision I had to make for the ministry. See, God keeps us in peace. He says here, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Just as I have to do. Say, Lord, especially the ministry, this is your decision. But God is interested in any of our decisions. If you just say, Lord, I want to give this request to you, Lord. Give me the peace. And He promises in His Word. And you've got to believe it tonight. We've all got to believe it. The peace of God will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. It will. And then, last point when it comes to peace, Romans 10 verse 15. And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. And I remember last year, I was flying back to Joburg after a conference. Flight Center had a conference. Esther had to fly to Barcelona, and she was on her way to Spain for one of the awards that she won. And I had to fly all the way back to Cape Town. On the plane, I was sitting next to this lady. And I quite enjoy these opportunities on an airplane because, you know, you've got good quality time with someone. You can sort of start to challenge them about what they believe in. And so I decided, I just said, Lord, I'm not just going to Bible bash this person. I'm not just going to, you know, I want to trust you for a word in this person's life. So I decided, well, the Holy Spirit actually showed me that, you know, the plane was about to take off. And the Holy Spirit just said, this woman is scared of dying. This woman has a fear of death, you know. And I just decided, let me just ask her, the Lord just showed, just ask her how she experiences, you know, what about if she dies now? Is she at peace or is she still, does she worry about where she's going? So I asked her that. And then she said to me, I said, do you know where you go? She said, well, no, I don't know. But she apparently she was a Christian. She said, no, she went to church and she was a Christian. And I said, but so you if this plane had to fall now, are you pretty scared about that? And she said, oh, no, I'm scared. I don't know what I'll do. And I said, because maybe, you know, there's a possibility that this plane could even crash now. And you know, you need to know where you're going. So, but she was open. I mean, I wouldn't do this to someone who doesn't want to hear the gospel. I could sense that she was open. So I said to her, but if you truly believe in God, if you've got a relationship with the Lord, then surely you know where you're going. And she said, but can you know? I mean, and then I had an open door just to preach the gospel to her. And she was so receiving of it. She just said, but she'd never realized that. She'd never known that she could actually be sure that she's going to heaven. That she, if she has to die right now, she can be sure. But she'd been going to church and doing the church thing. And I just said to her, but you can have a relationship with the Lord. You can know for sure tonight. If this plane had to fall and crash and you die, you're going to know. You're going to be at peace. And I sort of waited a while and just, you know, carried on. She was listening to a Walkman. Then I felt the Lord saying, you better pray for her now. Ask her if she just wants to receive me tonight. Because what happens if this plane does crash and you've told her the gospel now, she hasn't had a chance to respond. And so I thought, well, I better do this. And I turned to her and I said, but would you like to just pray a prayer with me and we can make this right? You can have peace with God right now. And she said, great, I'll do it. And she prayed the sinner's prayer with me. She gave her life to the Lord. Was at total peace there and just knew then. And she was just so amazed at the fact that she could be at peace right there with her Savior. Know that if that plane had to crash, she's going to be in heaven. Amazing. Bringing peace to other people. You see, God wants to give us opportunities all the time because it's not about just having peace with ourselves and being at peace with God. It's about bringing peace to others. And that woman, I still said to her afterwards, I said, you're in Stellenbosch, you're in Erica residence. There's a small group there. Come to Shofar, come visit us. It was just at the end of the holidays. And I trust that she's slotted in and that she has a testimony today of the fact that she's changed. But you see, bringing peace to others, that's what really makes us tick. It says, now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. And another story that I can share is the other day we were at Esther's farm. Now there's an older couple that have retired and they sort of staying on one of the farmhouses there on the farm. And we go and visit them every time we go and see Esther's parents on the farm. So we went to visit this couple, and they're so friendly and gave us tea and everything like that. And we sat there, and I just felt, I must pray, we must just leave our peace in this house. We must just pray for these people, bless them. We've got good relationship with them. You know, if they don't want to receive it, fine, they don't have to receive it. But I knew that they were open. So we just decided before we left, we said, can we just pray for you guys? And just, are there any prayer needs? And they were open. They shared about their children and relationships that aren't so great. And we just prayed for them there. And there were just tears running down her face afterwards. And the man is pretty hard, but I just know the seed was sown in his life. I know the seed of peace was sown in his life because we had the opportunity there as peacemakers to bless other people. And God promises, yeah, he says in his word, Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Making peace means bringing it. It's a deliberate action. We cannot just expect God to just, you know, float peace into people's lives. We must sometimes bring, and God will do that. But he says to you guys, all of us, he says to all of us tonight, we are the peacemakers. We mustn't just keep peace and keep everyone happy. That's not what it's about. It's exactly what the government is trying to do. Just let's keep everyone happy. Let's keep the peace. But Jesus says to us here tonight, blessed are those who make peace. We deliberately go and make peace and reconcile people to God. Reconcile people to people. And that's what we're in the business of doing. As Shofar Christian Church, we're in the business. That's what all the foundations are about. That's what all the Bible school small groups, we want to reconcile people to God and people to people. The two commandments, love God and love your neighbor. That's what we're about. And I'm just so excited to be in this organization that we're in the business of reconciling, bringing peace, making peace with people, bringing them to their Savior and to God. Are you excited tonight about righteousness and about peace in your life? Last one. Psalm 16 verse 11. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy. And that's why tonight the praise and worship was so awesome. Because in God's presence, we experience that fullness of joy. We experience just, we want to jump up and down and sing like that song. We just want to praise you, Lord. We want to worship you because you're just so awesome, God. You're so good. In your presence, we're experiencing it. It's a testimony. Our worship is a testimony of the presence of God, the joy that He brings in our lives. And I want to encourage you guys all, do it in your quiet time. Don't wait for church on a Sunday. Don't wait for your small group or for the Bible school praise and worship. Come. And put a CD in if you have to. I mean, I'm not the greatest singer. So the other day, I just decided I'm going to put a CD in. I'm going to worship. Because normally, if I have to sing on my own, then I can hear my voice sounds bad. So it's not always nice. So let me just put a loud Hillsong CD on that I can't hear myself sing. I just want to praise the Lord. Because it sounds like it's in church. You know, you can't really hear yourself. That's why we often praise better here, because we can't hear ourselves. Because our voice, sometimes, some of us, we need a bit of practice in that. But luckily, I'm not here, like Elmarie, leading the worship tonight. So. But you see, we need to praise and worship the Lord in our own time. We need to every day say, Lord, your joy fills me. And I want to praise you because of it. I want to praise you. It says here in Hebrews 12, looking unto Jesus, the perfect example, yeah, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. A scripture that we all know and we all quote. But for the joy, Jesus did it for us. He saw the joy, the relationship that he would have with all of us by going through with that work that he had to do. That tough, carrying that cross and knowing the painful death, after being through terrible pain already, knowing the painful death that he was going to die for all of us. But he could see the joy, he could see all of our faces. And you know, I don't know if you guys, if you haven't been to a baptism yet, please get to a baptism and see someone's face coming out of that water. It's just amazing. To see the smile. It's just, it's supernatural, because it's not like people are trying to smile like that. It's just God's joy being poured out in their lives like that. And God wants us to remain in that joy. He wants us to remain just living like a child and experiencing that new birth every day again. Because that's what it is. Every day is like a new birth for us. Being able to live and being alive every day. Enjoying His presence. But Jesus did it for us. He's the one that we worship. He's the one we thank. That we can say, as we sang tonight, we reconcile to God because of Jesus. In Habakkuk 3, and he must have been going through quite a tough time to write this, he says, though the fig tree may not blossom, nor fruit be on the vines, though the labor of the olive may fail, and the fields yield no food, though the flock may be cut off from the fold, and there be no herd in the stalls, yet I will rejoice in the God, in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And I know my brother on the farm, you know, if this has to happen to him, that the sheep are not in the fold anymore, that there's no water, there's no food, our farm and our family will be pretty depressed because of that. It's a tough thing when a farmer, you know, when there's no figs on the tree, when there's no fruit on the vines, there's no, you know, the labor of the olive fails. There's pretty much nothing going on.
this guy is in a bad place, but yet he says, yeah, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will joy in the God of my salvation. And that is supernatural, to be able to do that despite everything going wrong in your life, despite the circumstances coming against you, despite everything looking impossible. But what is the first thing we always do? We start to complain. We start to blame others. We start to think and analyze, why is it going wrong in my life? But the other Habakkuk says, yet I will rejoice. Because, Lord, you have saved me. You have saved me. John 15:11, Jesus says again, these things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, and that your joy may be full. We can have the fullness of joy because of Jesus Christ. And he says that joy doesn't need to diminish, that joy doesn't need to change. Like most of us go through life very up and down. We've got joy and then we've got happiness and then maybe sort of a bit of sadness and then this. And it's not about your circumstances. It's not about having a happy face and, you know, being happy-go-lucky all the time. It's just about a joy knowing that Jesus has paid the price for you. There's nothing you need to fear. There's nothing you need to worry about. Your joy can be full. And Hester and I went to run last Thursday morning. We went to run in Groenkloof Nature Reserve. And I'm so glad that the Lord, you know, got us a place close to a nice nature reserve where we can just get out and feel the, you know, the sort of the Boland feeling in a way, just being getting out of the city and feeling like you. It's actually an amazing place. We were there again this afternoon. We had a nice picnic there. And just to be in that nature reserve and you feel like you could be anywhere. You don't have, I mean, it's right next to a city. It's in a city, but yet it feels like you're out on a farm somewhere. But anyway, we decided to do the 10.5K hiking trail. We decided to run it. You know, we enjoy our running. So we decided, let's do this. It was quite hot that Thursday morning, 10 o'clock from 10 to 11. It took us an hour. Now, normally, it would take me to run 10K, so I have to run on a flat course, and I'm going full out. I'll take about 40 to 45 minutes to run a 10K. But now, this day, it took me an hour to run this 10K. So it was hot. We were struggling. She took an hour and a half. Shame. I mean, she's 3 months pregnant. She's pushing herself to the limit almost. But, you know, our child's probably going to be a nice runner running in Groenkloof. We're already training it to run in the tough times through the heat and all this. But anyway, but you know, when I was running there, it was tough. It was hot. I mean, I was really tired. The hiking trail was tough. You can't really run it. You have to climb rocks and so on. But when I was running about halfway, I really started getting tired. But then the Lord just reminded me of just why I'm doing this. And thinking, it's just so nice. I mean, I'm suffering a bit here, but yet, this race, this run that I'm doing is just awesome because I love it. And I was thinking, it's exactly to do with what I'm preaching tonight. The righteousness, the fact that I could know that I had a permit to go into Groenkloof. I'd paid my money, we went in, we were allowed to run there. And the fact is that my body also allowed me to run. I'm not, you know, in hospital lying sick somewhere. I can run, I can physically run. And I was also allowed to, the permit run. And that represents the righteousness. I could enjoy it because there I was, righteous. I was allowed to run. And then the peace, just the peace of knowing that, you know, I can do this and this is what I'm meant to be doing. I'm meant to be running. I'm meant to be exercising. It's lovely. And then just, you know, realizing the joy of all this, the joy of doing what I love, the joy of just living. And that's what I want to encourage with us tonight. You know, sometimes we forget about just the fact that God has bought us at a price. Jesus made us righteous. But He's also given us peace so that we can enjoy life. We can have joy. We can sing and worship the Lord because He's just made a way for us. We can live. We can forget about the boxes that we place ourselves in. And the great thing about that run was every so often there was just a sign saying, this is the way. You're still on the trail. Because, you know, a couple of weeks back we did it the other way around and then, you know, you don't see the sign. So we got lost. We ended up doing about 12 or 13 Ks. Luckily it wasn't hot that day. But this time we decided, let's do it the proper way around, then we can see the signs and follow the signs. And if we just stay in the Word of God, God will direct us. The signs will be there all the time. The signs will be there to direct our path. And we can just live then and enjoy the running, enjoy the race of life, enjoy being righteous and knowing there's nothing, there's no, you know, official coming to say, where's your permit? Because there we've paid, we're allowed in here. Jesus made a way. And there's peace because we know we can finish this race. That's the great thing. Despite it being long and hard, I knew I'd finish because I've done it before. I've run much further than 10Ks in my life before. So I know I can finish it. And that's the peace that Jesus wants to give us. And the same with the joy. Just of living in that joy. The fact that He has bought us at a price. Isaiah 55:12. My second last scripture tonight. For you shall go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth into singing before you. And all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. amazing. Going out with joy, being led forth or led out with that peace that's in our lives. And knowing we've been bought at a price, knowing the righteousness of God is upon us, we can just live. We can live and we can impact the society around us. We can live and whether we're at work or in the class or wherever we are, just we can live with that peace and the joy and the righteousness and impact others around us. We can impact the people around us. And I'll never forget when I started working 10 years ago, in the year 2001, I started going to Shofar and I'd really experienced the Lord in an amazing way. I'd experienced the Holy Spirit. I'd been baptized, being filled with the Holy Spirit. And I was really on fire for the Lord and I was working at this company in Stellenbosch. And every day I would just go to work and I would really enjoy it, you know, just enjoy it, just being myself, living for the Lord. And this one guy, he asked another person, he says, that Alistair guy, he's always so happy. He's always just, this guy is, you know, he doesn't seem to ever have a bad day. He's like, what is it with this guy, you know? It's tough here at work, you know, we have our challenges, but this guy, he's just enjoying it. And when I heard that, I just thought, God, that is your testimony, because I didn't know I was like that. I thought, I'm just living normally, I'm living for God, I'm working from 8 to 5, doing my running. But this guy saw the joy in me. This guy obviously noticed the Holy Spirit that was all over me, loving God, living for Him. And I know, that, I mean, that guy was really hard. He was all sorts of, I don't even want to say what he was doing at the time, and just the bondage that his life was in. The fact is, he could see that he was actually searching at the time. I know he was searching for something else. But he could see there was a joy in my life, and the joy of Jesus Christ. Not about myself. And when I heard that, I just knew, Lord, this, you want us to live like this. You want us to live with joy, despite our circumstances. You want us to live with the peace, knowing we're right with you, Lord. We don't need to fear anything. Jesus is our right hand. He's our God. He's going for us. He's fighting the battle for us. We can just live. Isn't that amazing? And sometimes we forget these things. We get caught up in even in church structures. And sometimes coming to church is like where Ezra read the law. We feel like, oh, the law of God. It's heavy. But God, that's why you're here tonight. God has brought you here so that you can experience His joy again. And the Word of God, I trust, has washed you this evening. Has washed over you again to just let us live again as Shofar Pretoria. Let us live and affect the people around us.